All right. Well, hey, for those who don't know me, my name's Clayton. I am the children's pastor here at Brighton. If you got kids, we are back in the corner, but we have a wonderful time. I am excited to be here today to share the word with you guys. If you've never met me before, just a heads up, I'm a kids pastor, so I make some jokes I shouldn't. And me and Brent will have a meeting about that this week, but just be prepared. I can be a little ornery sometimes, but that's all right. We're going to have a good time today, and I'm excited to be here. We are continuing our series all about the life of David, and we're almost to David, just not yet. Give it a couple more weeks, but we're almost there. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 15 today, and it has been a crazy month. I don't know about you guys, but the last couple months have just seemed to fly by. We're almost back to school, but I've had a crazy last few weeks. And not too long ago, I got the honor and the privilege to preach and be the evangelist up at our kids camp. And it was one of the coolest experiences ever to go in and preach in the same place where I was called into ministry. But the coolest part was we had two other guys I was doing it with, and we had a party. You get three kids pastors together, you never know what's going to happen. Throughout the week, we went through the life of Samuel. And we had this element in our service that we used to tell the story, and we called it Bible theater. And we can go and put the next image on the screen. I was the narrator of Bible theater, and this short little guy flexing, that's Nathaniel. He was playing everybody else in the story, but right here he's playing Saul, and then Ryan was playing Samuel in every lesson we did. But we're telling this story, and they're being really obnoxious. Nathaniel, anytime he came out as Saul, just put on this wrestling voice, and it was just, "What's up, brother? It's Saul-mania time!" And just going crazy, and the kids were electrified. They loved it. We had so much fun with it. But the last day, we're going in, and Pastor Ryan, our kidmen director, goes, "Hey, do you guys think you guys could do one more Bible theater?" And we were like, "Yeah, we just don't really have a story ready to go." And he goes, "Well, we need Saul. The kids are obsessed with Saul-mania. We need Saul in the story." And really, the only story left that we have was of Saul, you know, like mass murdering all of the Amalekites. And so I tell Ryan, I'm like, "Look, I don't know if you really want us to do this." And he's like, "No, do it. It'll be hilarious." And so literally I got Nathan running through the crowd and he's killing, slicing kids' throats and not slicing some of their throats, as you're going to learn in a second. And I'm sitting here like, "Man, you're going to get in so much trouble for letting us do this." And he just loved it. We go back the next week, and we have Poopy the Duck and Dr. Evil Stinky Fart Pants. And Ryan was getting chewed up and down all week long. But the genocide, he had no problem with. It was great. So anyways, I come back to church. I'm so excited to be here, and Pastor Brent goes, "Hey, can you speak for me next week?" I'm like, "Yeah, sounds great." And he sends me my passage. I'm starting to find out why, all right? So it happened to be the same story we acted out the last day of kids' camp. And so we're going to get a little genocidal here. We got a little clips from the Bible here that are from the Saw movies. But it's going to be a great time today. And so if you wouldn't mind joining me in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to read through it. I'm going to skip a couple parts, but we're going to read through it. Bear with me for a minute, and then we're going to hop into the message today. And so at this point in the story, Saul is king. He started off really good, but then he's slowly getting worse. And today, God decides he's done with him, all right? It gets to the pinnacle of terribleness today. Saul-mania was no longer very cool, okay? So, there's a group in the Bible that when the Israelites are escaping Egypt, they're kind of like the Tuscan Raiders of the Bible, all right? But they just kind of attack everybody, and they were called the Amalekites. And as the Israelites are leaving Egypt, just like you would in Star Wars, the Amalekites come in, and they jump the Israelites, all right? Not very good. And God promises he's going to punish them, and here we are about 400 to 500 years later. God has now decided that it is time for vengeance. And so Samuel goes to Saul, and he says, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them, put them to death, men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So Saul is being told to go and wipe them out. All right. So then Saul gets his armies together, and then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all of his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best sheep, cattle, and the fat calves, and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they demolished. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel and said, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Then Samuel goes to Saul, and he says, when Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you, for I have carried out the Lord's instructions. All right, anybody here with kids knows exactly what just happened there, all right? Mom asked him to take out the trash. They didn't put a new trash liner in, all right? And she just threw junk all in the trash can with no bag in it, all right? But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of sheep in my ears, and what is the lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But don't worry, we totally destroyed the rest. Enough, Samuel said to him. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. So Samuel told him that all through you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king of Israel. He sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey, Saul said. When I went on the mission the Lord assigned me, I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back their king Agag. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance like evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then further down at the ending, Samuel rejects Saul. He does bless him because Saul's very worried about what his image looks like. And then Samuel personally has King Agag brought all the way up to him, and he pulls out his sword and chops him to bits. And this is about the most gangster thing I've ever heard in the Bible. He says, as your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women. And then he just goes to town. Gangsta. Okay. Sorry, I had to get an Andy reference in there for you guys, but what a story. Sorry, I feel like I'm reading to you guys a lot. But Saul was given some pretty clear instructions, all right? I don't know about you guys, but I've worked with kids for about 9 years now, and they're always really good at listening, all right? Maybe not so much. Obedience. So I have a couple things to go over with you guys today. My first point, though, is that selective obedience is disobedience. Only doing half isn't obedience. The Lord didn't give Saul complicated instructions, all right? I know when my mom used to text me in high school and give me instructions, they were always very vague. They could be, this was simple. Wipe them out. He only did part of it. God's commands to Saul could not have been clearer. Destroy Amalek completely. Instead, Saul chose to preserve what God had already condemned. But you have to notice something important. Saul did part of what God had told him to do. But a partial rejection of a command from God is a full rejection. Samuel goes on to say that rejecting God and what he told him to do was just as bad as witchcraft. Just as bad as idolatry. The issue wasn't the livestock. It wasn't the people that he spared. The issue was who Saul was allowing to have authority in his life. Who gets the final word? Is it us or is it God? Oftentimes I see this struggle happening in the church. Many of us have struggled on our own. How do we interpret things? How do they go? But the Lord has given us clear instructions. There are some things that we may be able to debate back and forth. But oftentimes we use these questions as an excuse not to obey. We see that God tells us to forgive, but we continue holding resentment in our heart. We tell God we trust Him, but we refuse to surrender control. We know God is calling us somewhere, but we wait for a more convenient time or place to do what He's asked us to do. We acknowledge the truth while quietly excusing our own compromises. In my old age of 27, I'm not as young and spry as I used to be. There was a couple times ago, I'd be jumping up and down here going crazy now. But I like to study things, and I like to learn things. And there's sometimes I read something or I hear something, and I don't really know how I feel about that. I've had to come to the realization, though, that it really doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't matter what I want or what I think is the correct way to happen. But the Creator of the universe, the one true God, might know something or might have an opinion on something that I may not understand. It kind of reminds me of this. Okay, I recently got married about 4 years ago. Yeah, come on. Shout out to my wife. She's coming for me today, by the way. So your kids are probably safer than they usually are, all right? But I like to have facts. If anybody's been here with me, I like to really argue with people, all right? And I don't always even have to, like, have a set opinion on something, but I like the exchanging of ideas. I really enjoy the conversation behind it. But I also have some very interesting facts I like to bring up sometimes about a variety of topics. And Katie's family, at times, thinks I'm full of it, okay? Let's put it that way. So I'll share a crazy stat or something that I find interesting, and the common answer to that is, well, where'd you find that? Clayton.org? But you know what? Every time Google comes out, you know who's right? You know who's correct every single time? And if you were in here in first service, what did Katie say, Pastor Brent? Google always agrees with Pastor Clayton. But at some point in our life, we have to come to the realization, it doesn't matter what I think or what I want or what feels correct to me, because at the end, it only matters what God.org says. All right, somebody? We don't have to have the answers. We don't fully have to comprehend, because you know why? I'm not a malevolent being, okay? I'm not the Almighty God. Selective obedience is disobedience. We're either all in or we're all out. Which brings me to point number two today. Compromise always looks more reasonable from the inside. When Samuel confronts Saul, Saul genuinely believes that he has obeyed. I've carried out the Lord's command. Samuel's got a pretty big clip back at him. Why do I hear sheep bleeding? They're all supposed to be dead. Then he changes his excuse. Well, hey, we were really going to, you know, we were going to sacrifice and honor the Lord with these. Samuel's like, is that what God asked you to do? Well, no. Well, we were really hoping to go worship after the sacrifice. That's what compromise often does. It often convinces us that our motives somehow excuse our actions. And here's the other thing. It's not just how you compromise in your own head, but believe it or not, you can be compromised by other people. There's a reason when God gave Israel the promised land that he said, wipe everybody out. He didn't want his people being compromised by the evil that was already there. And the Amalekites were one of them. But sometimes we can use that compromise, that inner dialogue, to defend unhealthy relationships, excuse dishonest business practices, neglect our family, or ignore conviction because of that voice in our own head allowing us to compromise what God has already told us is right and wrong. Compromise always looks more reasonable from the outside. Saul had already built up this whole thing in his head. Well, don't worry, I was doing this, I was doing that. And the more he kept talking, the more he realized, wow, I have messed up big time. Sometimes it doesn't hurt to say things out loud. Number three, the disciplines do not replace our obedience. I love this one sentence from Samuel where he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. God was never opposed to sacrifice. He was never opposed to worship. He wants those things from us. But Saul thought the sacrifice and the worship could replace the word of the Lord. There is no way to appease God through our activity. If there was, there would have been no reason for Jesus to come to begin with. It's good to worship. It's good to pray. You should be reading your Bible. We should practice fasting and solitude, and we should do all of the disciplines. They're all great things. But those are designed for us to grow closer to God, not for us to change God's mind or to make up for what we didn't do. The disciplines have more to do with where your heart's at than it does about what you're accomplishing through the disciplines. It's possible to attend Firth Church faithfully and not have your heart in the right place. It's possible to serve on the worship team or in kids ministry or greeting and not have your heart in the right place. It's possible to teach Sunday school. It's possible to know the Bible better than anybody else. But if your heart's not in the right spot, do those things mean anything? If you're not obeying the word of the Lord, if you're not doing what he's asked you to do, if you're not drawing closer to him daily, do those things mean anything? Spiritual activity should not replace the daily intimacy we should be having with God. Our performances should never replace our surrender. So what does our giving, our serving, our ministry mean if our heart isn't in it for the Lord to begin with? Number four, the word of the Lord is our number one authority. Riley, if you wouldn't mind coming and playing piano. And in a minute, I wouldn't mind the whole worship team, but we can wait a second for that. Has anyone here ever built a Lego set before? Asher Marmon, raise your hand. Okay, come on, somebody. All right. If I were to give Asher a big old pile of Legos, I didn't tell him what it was supposed to be, nor did I give him the instruction manual, would it be fair of me to expect him to know what to build? Like many things in life, we get these manuals on how to work your microwave, how to build your Lego set, how to get your radio set up on your car. We have these manuals to help us to know what to do and how to act. Luckily for us, we've been given some pretty amazing gifts, a la the instruction manual. All right, somebody? God's word given to us, so we know what God is asking us to do, how he's calling us to live, how we're supposed to behave. And we've also been gifted with the Holy Spirit. To call and to convict and to empower, to go and do the good work. Church, we have the word of the Lord readily available to us all the time. And I'm not saying there's not going to be times where maybe slightly confused or have questions, but we have the Word of God available to us. And we know, for the most part, what God is calling us to do. And there's plenty of times where I've pulled out this book and I've read something and it hurts a little bit. Or maybe I don't fully understand. God is still calling us to obedience. As you see in our story, Saul ends up being killed in a couple chapters. I'm sure Pastor Brent's going to get there before too long. And as he's dying out on the battlefield, a man comes up and ultimately helps kill Saul so he doesn't suffer. And the man tells him before he kills him, he doesn't tell him his name, who he is, but he tells him, "I'm an Amalekite." Sometimes the things that we don't kill now are going to come back and kill us later. We have to have obedience and submission to what God is calling us to do and who he's calling us to be. There are so many examples in the Bible of people who are disobedient and didn't listen. But luckily for us, we have one guy who was pretty awesome. So Philippians 2:8, it says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Church, where is your heart at today? Earlier I shared about time at kids camp when I got called into the ministry at about 9 or 10 years old. And I ran from that calling for a long period of time. Until everything else was stripped away, and I finally got back in church, started taking the Lord seriously, was that call reaffirmed in my life. But Saul lost everything because of his disobedience. And I don't want us to wait 20 years. Do we have to face those things the hard way? So if you wouldn't mind standing with me. If you wouldn't mind, just close your eyes and bow your heads and surrender. And I want to ask a question that can sometimes be hard to ask ourselves. A question that sometimes hurts a little bit. But where's your heart at today? Is your heart truly there for the Lord? And the second question I want to ask you today is there something that you need to lay down in obedience today? Lord's laying something on your heart right now, or maybe there's been something for 20 years that God's been saying, you need to lay this down and give it to me. In a second, the worship team's going to lead us in a song. And if that's you today, you just say, you know what, Pastor Clayton, I need to get my priorities straight. There's something I need to give up in obedience. I just want you to come up to this altar. Just spend a few moments in His presence. And it doesn't have to be hard. Just, God, I give it all to You. Lord, I give it to You. So as the worship team begins to play, if that's you today, I just challenge you to come up to this altar and spend a few moments in His presence today and just surrender to Him.